With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Welcome. Stop it now. Welcome to the One Show Show live at the London Podcast Festival. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got a podcast, so thank you for coming to this one. We're very grateful. We know you have a choice. In fact, since we were last here 2 years ago, there are now 27 million new podcasts a day. Just show of hands, how many people here have a podcast? You lazy bastards. Everyone's got a podcast. But look, it's so good that after all this time, of course, we're finally able to mix with people. Well, I know, hooray. We can interact. Look, we can have fun. Yeah. Although, of course, in the next room, as I speak, the Taliban are doing their podcast. Shagged, married, killed with rocks. So do keep the noise down in case they get wind of this. So I'm John Holmes, and yes, it is the One Show Show, the podcast that batters the coastline of BBC One's early evening flagship magazine programme and then makes its way inland, laying waste to its tedious vox pops about the great British seaside and dumping a month's worth of derision on films about river wildlife. Now, as regular listeners will know, this is a deep dive into TV's shallowest show. This week, then, Watchdog's Matt Allwright spits rhymes, Nesbitt's teacups, and guests get subsumed by a giant silver egg. Plus, The One Show has a new set design. Yeah. And a new table. Yeah. Rest assured, though, the content is the same old shit. Now, joining me to burn it all down, of course, please welcome, first of all, writer, podcaster, despiser of Gethin Jones, will you welcome Mark Haynes? And our guest live in London, the creator of the far more successful podcast than this, The Battersea Poltergeist. His new play, 222, stars Lily Allen. It's getting rave reviews in the West End. It's writer and ghost wrangler, Danny Robbins. Yeah. All right. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
First question, I'm not going to ask you this, Mark, because I know the answer. But Danny, The One Show, familiarity with or just forced to watch it for this, like most of our guests?
You know, I hadn't watched it for years, and I watched it the other day because, as you say, I was doing this play, 222, and Lily Allen and Jake Wood, our actors, went on The One Show.
Yeah.
And so... that was the first time I watched it, but just before they went on, I had this conversation with Lily where she said there'd been this research phone call. They called you beforehand, they sort of talked through the interview, and they said to her, you're going to be followed, this piece about your ghost play is going to be followed by a piece on litter. words that send shivers down anybody's spine. But and they said, this is, bear in mind, this is to Lily Allen. They say, have you got any funny stories about litter?
And then, had she?
Well, it then prompted a discussion where we realised that she did. and I realised I had my own funny story about litter as well, and I suddenly started wishing that I had been on the show so I could pull it out and go, well, now, since you mentioned it, actually. Yeah.
Well, what is your funny story about litter?
I was once locked into my house by a wardrobe that had been fly-tipped on my doorstep. So I basically... was about to leave my house to go somewhere, opened my door and realised I couldn't actually open it because there was a wardrobe, all the bits of a wardrobe, on my doorstep blocking my way out.
Do you live in working class Narnia?
it felt like some sort of reverse of Narnia, literally, yeah. But I couldn't get out of my house because of these bits of this wardrobe. So I had to call the council and say, somebody's trapped me in my house with a wardrobe, can you rescue me?
Thank God you weren't on The One Show. They were.
Yeah, there you go.
The thing is, if you'd have said, no, I don't have a good story about litter, The One Show will go, that's fine, tell that one.
Amal Rajan is back. Oh, yeah, he's back to the clamour of absolutely no one. He's everywhere, isn't he, Amal Rajan? Still, he's everywhere. Can you be double jabbed against Amal Rajan? but now, here's the thing. He's back on The One Show, but he makes weird noises. Okay. Exhibit A, the end of this clip.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's One Show with Alex Jones.
And look now, we haven't seen him in far too long. It's lovely to have you back, Amal.
Lovely to
have you back. And you've picked a good night, haven't you?
I have. You know, I can't resist a scoop out. And tonight we have got an absolutely massive one because we are going to be exclusively revealing the first three contestants for Strictly Come Dancing 2021.
I literally can hardly contain myself. We've been keeping it... a secret. We've even had to refer to them by their code names, which are, by the way, Buzz Lightyear, SpongeBob SquarePants, and Marge Simpson. Let the guessing games begin. Tonight, we've even...
what is that? And there they go.
They do reveal who the celebrities they've given the code names to are during the course of that show. And you've got to be careful with code names, because if you give them celebrity code names that are better than the actual celebrities who are on... If someone said to me, SpongeBob SquarePants is on Strictly, I'd go, how the fuck are they going to do that? Fucking, but it turns out it's Tom from McFly.
Oh, you spoiled it now, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that, we were waiting for that to come through. Yeah, no, it's well, you know, a good start for Amal, I think, back into the sort of new series. But then you're right, we do meet, of course, the first Strictly contestant. And he's, I mean, there's a recap of his, what they do a recap of their careers before they're on. Okay, and I found myself being absolutely none the wiser at first.
Yeah.
And then they went, you know, he's written 10 number ones, and I'm going, is it SpongeBob SquarePants? I don't know. But then he's sitting in a silver egg.
It's all about you.
Well, there will be people screaming at the television right now. Yes, we know he can sing, but can he dance? Who's it all about? It is, of course, Tom Fletcher!
Why is it in an egg?
Like a fucking strip club at Easter.
I mean, I was screaming at the television, but not for the reason she thinks.
He fascinates me because he's like a baby Benjamin Button. Because when he first came along, he looked about 14. And 10 years later, he looks about 11. He's constantly going back and back.
But I really wanted the chair to kind of hatch, to crack open and for him to spring out from it.
Like one of those, my kids have got these things called Hatchimals.
Oh, yeah,
You know what Hatchimals are? Where you put a plastic egg in some water, you know, which you don't do these days, it's single use. The one show would be crazy about that. And then it hatches some animal out. Yeah, if they'd left it there for 3 days, and eventually his nose poked out the front of it and cracked it open.
It's a funny thing, this show, because they are using the one show to just promote a different BBC show. So they promote Strictly through it. And they also have Watchdog. A failed BBC show that comes back within this one. It would have been good if that silver egg was actually part of a relaunch of V. And when it had turned round, lizards had burst out of it, just eaten Amel.
It'd just go, ah. There was a link that came up next, where they were... So this is part of the Vox Pop. This is the one show Vox Pop. Which they've just started doing, I've noticed. I haven't gone back to watch it. It's a really sort of late... They've obviously... Whether it's a COVID thing, I don't know, but they've gone back... Instead of getting, you know, wildlife cameramen and sending them into rivers, what they've done is just go onto the streets of certain places of Britain and ask really inane things, right? And they had... This was a shit link. I mean, that doesn't narrow it down, I realise. But the way into it... I mean, have a listen to the skill. With which they take what's going on in the world to get into a pointless film.
There have been plenty of upbeat headlines today. More massive success for Team GB at the Olympics, and COVID hospitalisations seem to be coming down.
With all that in mind, how optimistic are you feeling right now? We sent Resi Gajar to Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire to find out.
I mean, COVID looks... So they've gone and done a film about... how optimistic it is to be.
Yeah, and they're obsessed with Vox Pops at the minute. And they're also, they know they're crap. They know they are crap because each one of their VTs about Vox Pops lasts a maximum of 25 seconds.
But I love a Vox Pop.
Yeah.
And I used to do them a bit. And I just remember like spending days and days and days doing Vox Popping. And then it ends up being 30 seconds on screen. But I think also... I was always struck by how it'd be really different in different places. Like, I grew up in Newcastle,
yeah,
as you can tell by my really strong accent. And I was actually stolen. I'm a foundling. I was stolen by the Mandalorians. But I mean, in Newcastle, it was just brilliant. You know, people would be naturally witty. They'd sort of, you know, they'd give you loads of stuff. You know, like, I remember like talking to people about Vikings there and saying for this history program and saying, what would you do if a Viking came to your town? And this bloke went, oh, I'd probably set fire to his tours, pull his teeth out. And this other bloke went, just crossbow. Genuinely chilling. But then you go to like London and people are really standoffish, didn't want to talk to you. Or you go to like Shoreditch and they were like, what kind of camera have you got, mate? And start pitching their TV pilot to you, you know. But it's totally depends on where you are. And like, you know, the BBC used to be really lazy and just go out onto Shepherd's Bush Green and do all their stuff there. So at least with the one show, they are travelling around a bit now.
Well, you say they're travelling around. This week we saw one from Aylesbury and Rickmansworth, and both of them are 20 minutes outside of London. So they sound like they're further away when you say it's Buckinghamshire.
Yeah.
It's Buckinghamshire, Hertfordshire border. And then Hertfordshire border goes to Middlesex border, which is part of the City of London. You know, it's not that far away. You were saying it takes a long time, and obviously you're trying to get the best bits. I would say for the 25 seconds of Vox Pops that they did there, it took them 25 seconds of Vox Popping.
Yeah. Would you like to meet the people of Aylesbury? Oh,
I absolutely would not.
But bear in mind, they travelled to Aylesbury to find out about the optimism because of COVID and because of the Olympic optimism of Aylesbury.
So we were promised a free and happy Great British Summer by the powers that be. Do you still feel you're restricted, or do you feel like you have
restricted.
Got the freedom?
Look at the town. Look at the town. This coronavirus has left its mark.
So what things have been making you feel cheerful then?
At the moment, nothing.
A lot of people are out about now in the community, and it's really great to see people's smiling faces. I enjoy every moment of it.
I went to Southend. I had fish and chips.
Has the Olympics given you a reason to be cheerful?
Yes, absolutely. Wake up and that TV goes on and, we've won another gold, a silver, a bronze. So it's reasons to be proud.
Absolutely. It is brilliant that the Olympics are cheering people up. But sad, really, about Katrina Johnson-Thompson. That was filmed before we knew about that.
Yeah. I mean, even on the back of it, off the back of it, you go, yeah, it really cheers you up. But actually, here's something sad.
I mean, the fact that that's an absolute classic one show, isn't it, that? Sort of like, we've filmed something, we've got nothing else in its place, we're going to have to show it anyway, but then there's going to have to be a caveat at the end because something bad happened between the filming and now.
Yeah.
And it was almost, you know, it's like, so don't drop it even though it's a worthless film. It's a pointless film. And also that guy, it's Aylesbury. He's just going, I get fish and chips in Southend.
But the woman who says there's nothing good, I mean, I felt quite low at that moment. That brought my mood down there.
Yeah, and I think you might have snipped a bit out of there, because unless I just missed it there, there's a bit where one of the women who said, the fact we're alive is the best thing she can think of.
Yeah, yeah.
She then said,
the same woman, actually.
Yeah.
They talked around from nothing to, well, we're alive.
But
okay,
then
all
she
right.
then says, because every time you turn on the TV, it's all about COVID. And I thought, well, you're hardly fucking helping, are you? Going on about COVID.
Yeah, it's one of those one show things though where they really don't like it if they it could be seen to be the slightest bit controversial.
Mm.
So they have to do the, oh my god, what if someone emails us? What if someone writes in about the Olympics thing? Quickly do a cat. It's almost like after every film they do, they should just go, right, that was shot after 9/11.
Yeah. I mean, on a serious note, it does feel like watching this as a newbie coming to this, you know, and I do feel a bit like the guy who's walked in saying, I like Doctor Who, to people who really like Doctor Who. You know?
We don't like it now. Yeah. We don't
I think you'll find in season 10, episode 38. But no, I mean, walking into this, it feels like it is shot through with this kind of fear and caution and risk averseness of we cannot offend anybody at all.
Yeah.
And the result of that is that it gets really bland, you know, and you can't express an opinion. And it was really nice, sort of, you know, later episodes, don't want to spoil it, but it gets better. But some of the later episodes that you sent me, those kind of, I'm presuming they're kind of bootlegged ones you ripped off.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, you pass them around. Like
we pass them around. There's a big market for bootleg one shows.
The dark web is 98% one show repeats.
I remember the old cassettes of NWA that would get passed around at school. This is the new hardcore hip-hop. But but yeah, no, I mean, in some of the other episodes, I liked it when somebody came in and wasn't afraid to just push it a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it needs that, doesn't it?
It does. Well, it's when, the guest's about to come up, right? Yeah. So you spotted this. This was the actor Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
In his garden, except he wasn't thought he was.
Yeah, so Dan Stevens is an actor. He's got a new film coming out where he plays what they term a romantic German-speaking robot. It's the word romantic there has been used in place of the more explanatory and commonly used fuckbot. But he's in a German language film where he plays a cyborg who's been built for a woman that meets all of her criteria, and she's doing it as a social experiment, saying, well, I'm not going to fall in love with a cyborg. It sounds brilliant. It's also worth saying they were very interested in making it clear that it is possible to watch a film as a British person that has subtitles.
Yeah.
But he comes in, and the first thing he says is, because they've been talking about the fact it's German, he does speak German, and he says, ah, guten Abend. And Amol hears it, and he obviously doesn't know that Guten Abend is a German phrase. And so his brain goes, what did he just say? And he thinks, I know, he must have said, it's good in Bahamas. So when he says Guten Abend, Amol then has a line that he uses that only makes sense if you realise he thinks Dan Stevens has said, good in Bahamas.
Welcome, Dan Stevens!
Ah! Hey, Dan!
Guten Abend.
Hey, good to see you. Not from the Bahamas, but from your home in America. Listen.
Unbelievable. Now, you might think, well, no, he didn't. He didn't make that mistake. But, I mean, there's absolutely no other reason why you say not in the Bahamas.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You add any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.
Later on, Dan Stevens will use more German, and he uses the he's basically doing a build-up to one of the Strictly people to reveal them.
Yeah.
And you will understand, watching that clip, that neither of them understand even the German for he is.
Yeah.
So it's very much he doesn't know it. That movie, I thought, looked really, really good. People were perplexed. They kept having to repeat the phrase, romantic German-speaking robot. it was magic. And at one point, Dan Stevens talks about, he says, it's a great film. He says, it's got that typical German sense of humour. And nobody pulled him up on it. Nobody went, oh, yeah, the typical German sense of humour.
But this is not the best Dan Stevens interview ever, though. Do you remember that one he did with Susanna Reid on Good Morning Britain, where he just got this big role, and she said to him, is it true that you had to beat off a lot of men to get this role? And he just goes into hysterics, and she doesn't understand why, and it's a beautiful moment.
Dan Stevens is obviously destined to go through life's interviews with people not understanding
exactly
what he's going on about. Yeah, but you're right, this bit he did, but he knows that they fucked it up, Dan.
So
he tries to help in the background. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. It's worth saying, if you don't speak German, you can work out what
Before
Dan Stevens
let you go,
is saying.
We've got, you know, it's time to reveal another one of our Strictly celebs or Strictly contestants for this year.
Yeah.
Do you reckon, it's a bit of an ask this, do you reckon you could do the next clue and give it to us in German?
Yes, if I can wish my mum and dad a happy golden wedding anniversary this Saturday.
Oh,
deal.
Go for it.
Deal. All right.
Okay, so, ist Schauspieler, Aktor und Komiker. Ist der beste Freund von David Mitchell. Sie sind ein Comedy-Doppelakt. Ist...
I mean...
That's pretty obvious.
It doesn't matter if you even can't speak German. I think we got the gist
best
of that pretty well there.
Best David Mitchell.
Dan, that was immense. Thank you.
You're a legend.
If you heard the name David Mitchell, that is a big clue.
That's a major clue, isn't it? Because for years he's been making us laugh alongside his best mate David, whether that's in sketches or on the incredibly successful Peep Show. Oh. It is, of course, author, comedian and actor Robert Webb!
Robert Webb!
Yeah! Come back, come back, come back!
Hello! I mean... Can we watch that again? He just sets them up with one line.
You can understand every single word of German in that bit even if you don't speak German.
Yeah, yeah. And it's he is...
Sie sind ein Comedy-Doppelakt. Ist...
I mean...
That's pretty obvious.
It doesn't matter if you even can't speak German. I think you got the gist of that pretty well there.
David Mitchell.
Dan, that was immense. Thank you.
I mean... And then we're back to the silver egg. That was quite a boring chat with Robert Webb, I thought, though.
I thought he was working really hard. I thought every word he said was funny.
He worked hard.
Yeah. No, but you'll see it again later, where the harder someone works and the better they are, the more the main presenters go, don't like this. Yeah. This isn't what this show is about. Yeah. Not happy about that.
Do not resist the black hole.
Don't come on here and try and be entertaining. That's the last thing we want. See the last 10 years.
You can literally see the disapproval if someone comes on and is a bit funny and a bit sharp, like Robert is there, and they're just like... We do not like that.
Yeah, the fact that he did a funny thing with the silver egg where he turned around a bit too far. Come back! Back now.
Yeah. That's a shame. That's a shame.
That's just silly now. Come on.
Robert Webb looking very much like both future Prince William now
And future Robert Webb as well.
Yeah, even more future Prince Harry. It's our perfect combination. If you've ever thought about what it'd be like if those two got it on and then had a baby that was old.
Yeah, it's on the dark web. But you said, Danny, something interesting earlier about the fact that he's obviously going on Strictly now. Right, but as the sort of decrepit
comedian. Well, this feels a bit harsh to air in public. Thank you, John. But no, I mean, I just remember Robert as being like part of the kind of comedy scene, the kind of my contemporaries kind of coming through comedy. Yeah, yeah. And now I suddenly had this realization that he was going to be there as the kind of funny older man. You know,
yeah.
He was going to be like that bloke Mike, the sports reporter two seasons ago, who has a bad back and falls over, and you just wonder if he's maybe a bit too handsy.
We were on to Watchdog. So, if you don't know, and there's no reason why you should, as Mark said, the failed television programme Watchdog got sort of cancelled from its own slot, but given a bit on The One Show, right? This happened like 18 months or so ago, I suppose. So Matt Allwright, who presents it, now just sort of has to find his own bit of The One Show studio, which they've sort of set up for.
So is this a bit like when you lose your job, but you pretend to your wife you've still got it, and you go and sit in the park? Yeah, and then go back at the end of the day.
He sits in the park for sort of 20 minutes and then pops to The One Show for the last...
The One Show is the metaphorical part.
But he does this piece about a company that are fraudulently helping people move house, right?
You say fraudulently. They did everything they said they would, and then the BBC absolutely monstered them. So they were a company called Anyvan.
Yeah.
They've been all over the BBC. I don't think they're going to be bothered about us talking about them. But they basically have a thing where they are a removals company, and if you ring them up, what they do is they go, oh, we'll outsource it to our people on our books, and then we send the vans along. And that's what they've been doing. And people were like, oh, I thought they were going to have any van written on the side. And they didn't. And so then they got 15 minutes on the BBC where they were basically held up as being the worst company on earth.
This one bloke was late.
Yeah. They said they had loads and loads of complaints about this company. And if they had loads and loads of complaints, why did they show... The two they showed was one van was 5 hours late and the other one was too small and couldn't do it all in one day. 15 minutes of attacking them over that.
They properly went for them as well. I mean, they pixelate all of the faces of the any van drivers in which instantly makes you think they are paedophiles or drug dealers or actually knowing the BBC possibly they have advertising logos on their faces. But,
with the caveat that the drivers of any van are not paedophiles.
I'm not connecting it, but they had an old couple who made the complaint and the bloke did look a bit shitmoney.
Most of the time, it seemed to me, though, was taken up with Matt Allwright's new love of poetry, right? So did you spot this? So Matt Allwright...
How could I spot it? I was asleep.
Matt Allwright used to just present Watchdog, but since he's had to up his game a bit, right? So he keeps rhyming stuff. So, well, first of all, he said, moving is one of the most stressful things up there with serious illness, just after Robert Webber talked about his serious illness. Mm. So I thought that was a nice thing. But then he does another of his rhyming couplets.
Well, tonight, some pretty moving stories from customers of house removals platform Anyvan, sleeping on floors, being held to ransom by your driver on moving day, as if it weren't stressful enough. And... my sweet lord, what's going on with Action Fraud? It's to be scrapped after being called unfit for purpose at the very time we need it most. Who are you going to call? Well, we've got your number.
Then it went to the film, and he's talking about...
He said the man was held to ransom, right? The little van turned up, the man put it in, there were still lets left over, and the guy said, I'll come back tomorrow, but I'll have to charge you. And he said, I mean, in those moments when you just don't know what's up or what's down, he said, I just agreed. It's not being held to ransom. That was agreeing a price and service. And it was done. And now he's on...
I still can't get over the full iambic pentameter there. That was impressive. But also, he did say that moving house was the third most stressful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm presuming that being on The One Show is either number one or number two. Is that right?
Sitting in the silver egg.
Yeah, exactly.
Right up there. Well, when they went to the film, they talked about... you said they moaned because they didn't have the logo on the side of the van. People also complained because the Anyvan drivers didn't have branded polo shirts, right? So then they showed a clip of someone making a branded polo shirt, right? And he said, in the voiceover, undemanding branding with built-in understanding.
Fucking hell. I have a feeling in that bit as well, due to the age of the people, the parts of the country they were both in and moving to, I bet there was a lot of edits where it all came down to, and one of them didn't speak very good English.
Yes. Not only do they not have polo shirts, they did not play polo either. None of them had a horse.
But the film itself, right, there was a weird, a very strange bit where he was standing in the back of a van himself, right, at the end of this film, for you know, the director had clearly gone, right, we need to make just this shit film up a bit. Stand in the back of a van and two men will open the doors. But I want you to watch, right, he couldn't work out what to do with his thumb. Right, and then he, at the end of it, he sort of doubles down on it.
Right. So this is Watch Matt's thumbs.
Yeah.
As they said to the runner on the studio floor.
In Derek's case, any van told us the wrong number of vans turned up because any van staff inputted the wrong details. As for Jean and Elwin's driver, it says the partner has been removed from its network.
Over the past few months, we've had more complaints about any van than all of the big traditional removals companies put together. Perhaps the point is this. When you're moving house, you don't just want any van. You want the right van or vans for the job.
Now, if you've been affected by anything in the sight of Matt Allwright hopping out of a van like a dad, then we do have trained counsellors standing by at the back of the room.
What's he doing? Does he live in the van now?
But I feel like we need to sort of explain that a bit for the audience at home. But basically, it is sort of... Yeah.
No, fuck them if they don't buy a ticket.
Seek it out, people, seek it out. Yeah. But no, it is essentially artful, Dodger-esque kind of use of thumbs, isn't it? He slots them effortlessly into his pockets and then leaps down in a sort of boyish...
Well, he just can't... Kind of between every sentence like he's got, it's sort of hanging on... like a line-dancing cowboy. He's tucking his left thumb into his pocket and then he takes it out to gesture a bit. And then he puts it back. Then he doesn't quite put it back and takes it out straight away. And then, in the end, he puts both thumbs in both pockets and hops out of the van. What a twat.
Have you got the clip of him enjoying the silver egg?
I have.
Oh, good.
But just before that, though, have you got any of the dramatic reconstruction of the move? Because that was the bit that really got me. That they bring to life this nightmare move. And there's a moment where you can see these horrible, pixelated... not paedophile, removers brush past the sofa and they knock the cushion on the floor. And they don't pick that cushion up. They stand on that cushion. And that moment, you know, these are people who would do anything. You know, that could be a kitten, that could be a child's face. You know, they stand on that cushion and walk out. And I was like, yeah, no sympathy for these people at all.
So the level of what people expect. So the couple complained. They said they were moving out all the furniture and it had started to rain and they didn't cover it up as they took it out. And they said, we ended up sleeping on a damp mattress that night. It was horrendous. They said, they don't cover up things in the rain. It's not any van's fault. It was raining. And the guy was putting your furniture... Cover your furniture!
Yeah, cover it in plastic yourself, you dick.
I mean, you know, these people.
Do you want to see Matt Allwright in an egg?
Yes.
Okay. Never going to happen.
I can't take it seriously.
Never going to happen. If your mover has let you down, we want to know about it. Watchdog at bbc.co.uk, at BBC Watchdog on Twitter.
Right, he's just given me the Twitter. Has anyone got Twitter on their phone? Right, okay, so that Twitter address, at BBC Watchdog, right, get it out now. Take your phones out, right? If you look at Twitter, just as we go along, at BBC Watchdog, and say you've seen Matt Allwright in a shoddy egg. Hashtag all right, shoddy egg. And then hashtag the other one.
He's a bad egg, that one. I like the fact he'd invented the word scamdemic.
Yeah, I know,
I enjoyed that.
Proud of him.
Piggybacking on COVID, isn't he?
he was probably desperate trying to rhyme it with something earlier on, but didn't think of pandemic.
Yeah. It's worth saying the last person on Strictly this year is AJ Adudu.
Yes.
And it was amazing when they went through her list of credits of all the shows that I've heard of. It's amazing that, like, there are people who appear on television and you go, I've never seen them before. She was on loads and loads of stuff you'd heard of. And just that sort of weird thing where as you get old, you stop noticing new people. I've only got enough brain space now. She was new. I thought she was lovely.
Yeah, she was great.
With enthusiasm.
She's going to win.
Yeah. But enthusiasm on the one show as well. Yeah. And again, they didn't quite know how to handle handle that. They didn't like that at all, you know. But I think, you know, she was great. And I think even in that short little period she was there, she absolutely blew everybody else on the show.
Well, she did. And I genuinely thought, why aren't you presenting the one show? You've got a level
that's
of
why they didn't like
that's
her.
That's why.
Back in your egg.
Let's move on to the second show we're talking about, because especially for Mark, really, because this was a Gethin episode, and we know what a fan you are.
This is a very Welsh show.
Very Welsh.
It could not be more Welsh.
Very Welsh.
Yeah. Well, it's quite funny because you get Welsh presenters together and they're like sort of fractal. So if you've got two, it's not like two Welsh people. It's like 12 Welsh people.
Yeah.
And they get Joanna Page, who is about 50% more Welsh than anyone else. And you get Alex Jones, who is about 30% more Welsh than anyone else. And you put them together and they are just like 1,000,000% Welsh. It was an unbelievably difficult to watch show.
Is that what sucked Gethin's power away? At the beginning of this?
Yeah.
It was quite...
I genuinely think he is... He presents as if he's talking to someone who is in a coma. And he's one of those scary
nurses. Well, that's the audience, Mark. That's the viewers.
Like, you come in and you sort of go, is everything all right in here? And he goes, I've just been telling your mum how lovely her hair is. Weird fucking... But you see it on this one. And you suddenly realise, we've been talking about the romantic German robot thing. It's like he's like a presenter robot, and the batteries aren't good enough to keep the incredible carapace going.
Yeah.
This is the start, right?
It doesn't quite move.
And welcome to The One Show with Gavin Jones.
And Alex Jones. We're live on BBC One and iPlayer, and we've got a cracking show lined up for you.
Yes, we have.
Lined up for you. It's like Welsh lithium. Two L's. Lithium.
Personally, I think he's got Future Bond written all over him. It's a tattoo on his bum. As one show obsessives, can you give me a bit of the backstory about Gethin? Because I'm kind of intrigued. I want to know, is there kind of like an origins movie of Gethin?
His name alone
makes him sound like a supervillain or something like that.
He was in the crowd and his parents were killed by a rampaging guest. He ran away. He went round the back of the set where he began picking up presenting tips through the thick curtains. No, they found him on some awful kids show and they just went, that'll do. There he is. He is appalling in this show, and part of the reason he is appalling is because he doesn't add anything to it. Quite often people will say funny things and they'll go, well, that's nice. Or he will repeat what people say. So they'll go, yeah, so it was great fun. They'll go, great fun. It's just such a wet blanket.
There's an odd thing at the beginning of this show where... So normally on the one show, you know, having watched it like we have to, for you, right, there might be shit, but there are at least links, right? The way that they get into films and they get into different things that are happening, right? And so this next thing that happened, I was expecting that to turn into a link for something that they were getting to. But it didn't. It was like small talk they should have had before the cameras were on.
Right.
And it just went on and on. So I thought Alex was going to introduce a film about Scottish COVID restrictions. But then it just, honestly, came to small talk about whether or not they like hugging. And went nowhere.
Now, today, though, Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, has revealed that the country would be dropping almost all of its remaining COVID restrictions from next Monday, the 9th, including social distancing. And, you know, we've had a chat about this today, about etiquette, because people now are starting to get quite familiar again, aren't they? A bit friendly. Some come in here, they want a big hug. It's awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
What do you like, you know, with the bumps? Are you... staying away from the hugs at the moment?
Do you do a little bump?
Oh, you could do a bump to bump.
You could just go boom, I'm sort of staying away from hugs, but I find it so hard because I'm a very huggy person. So I've noticed that I just sort of make a noise and go, like that, as if I'm sort of hugging the air, because I need to do something.
I know. Social distancing. To the chicken elbow.
Yeah,
for now,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right, also, what is a chicken elbow? Is that a thing people say? Is it called a chicken elbow?
Never heard it called a chicken elbow.
Also, right, call it a human elbow, because that's what it is. Well, why are you pulling the notion of wildfowl into this Greek? You might as well call it, let's do the seahorse knee. No, I haven't got one.
But do you know what kind of elbows Gethin has, though? I mean, have you seen him with his sleeves rolled up?
Point, actually,
he may have chicken elbows, it's possible.
Chickens don't have elbows!
Classic bit of Gethin there when Asim goes, yeah, like a big bump. And Gethin just goes, I'll do it too. Now it's my joke.
I mean,
just... Assam Chowdhury in this episode is a classic example of the funny, interesting person they invite on to sit there looking awkward until the very end when they let them talk for 50 seconds.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't put him in an egg, but yeah, you're right.
But it's kind of like a sort of trial. It's kind of an ordeal, a trial by combat. You have to go and sit there for like the entire duration of the show just to get to do a little bit at the end.
That's exactly the premise. They have Hollywood stars. You know, we talked about this last week, didn't they? Ryan Reynolds was on, Matt Damon, and they're sitting there. But they don't just have them on for a bit. They make them watch the one show. It's like, what must they make of it? Just, you know, Ryan Reynolds there, he's plugging his film, and he's got to watch some film about ice cream.
I did. There was a mention that Joanna Page did where she said, oh, yes, all of us are pregnant. You know, you, Alex, and me, and Eve Miles. So it's everyone who works on BBC Radio Wales doing the Sunday morning show. I was thinking, there's three of them on a web. We have got to listen to that show. Hungover, listening to those three. Oh, yeah, chicken elbow.
This led into, eventually, that chat went nowhere, but it was then to get to a film about Blackpool with the presenter Barney Harwood.
We were saying it's a shame that we'd already made up our minds to do some old episodes because they've got new ones on at the minute.
Yeah,
and I tell you what, this film justifies that decision because in the pantheon of the best bad one show, this is right fucking up there.
I mean, it starts, right, where, the director's in charge and he's going, look, we've been handed this shit card, right, and we've got to try and make Blackpool look interesting. So what we're going to do, we're going to put you, Barney, on a deck chair, all the cliches, and we're going to make you eat rock. And as you'll see, it's very clear that Barney Harwood fucking hates rock.
Yep, the stripy deck chair. Over the years, you'd see old guys sitting in these with knotted hankies on their heads, soaking up the sun, chewing on a stick of Blackpool rock, don't mind if I do.
I mean, he does mind.
This was a great pivoting thing where they were like, there's four different stories here. We've got no way of like connecting them. So we'll just put them one off the other. And the first one was about the return of deck chairs to Blackpool Beach after 10 years when the council went, there's no demand for them. Yeah. And it was a local businessman who's now charging £4 for a deck chair. And he's like, well, they're back. And he was saying, people, they come to Blackpool and they've seen what Blackpool has to offer. Like a deck chair like you've got in your shed. But they were like, well, that can't do a 2-minute piece. So let's move on to the next bit. And you just got then the hotel. I cannot wait for you to see this hotel.
Oh, I mean, I sent this to you, right? I mean, did you open mouth, presumably, at the state of this?
Yes. All I can say is bring it on.
Okay.
Across town, hotels and B&Bs are filling up fast. Even the unfortunately named Corona Guest House. Paul Ward and husband Richard Gregory have run it for 20 years. During lockdown, they closed the hotel for 11 months. But now, they've really bounced back.
In our 20 years, it hasn't been this busy. It's been like this continuous since we opened in May.
Do you think you had any kind of...
Look how busy it was.
It was empty.
The first shot they showed are two women and four empty seats. Yeah. The second one, five people, 13 empty chairs. It's getting emptier as the film goes on.
I love that you paused it and counted them as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just magic.
And there we jam the brakes onto part one of the podcast and bring it to a screeching halt right in the middle of your listening pleasure. But fear not, we'll be back tomorrow with more One Show, just as soon as the US military have stopped using it as torture by playing films about Pine Martins to insurgents that they've hung from the ceiling of a freight container. Goodbye!
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
And the other Mr. P.
And we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day. And of course, we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips and get ready for the lesson.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth Tree Runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Dasher, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds tree shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of Tree Dashers, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.